Turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start reading with verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. As we think about the idea that says do good and communicate, forget not, the words are not exactly equivalent in English from the Greek. And the idea is to not forget the fellowship, not forget the relationship or the blessing that we've had. Every time we have a patriotic holiday, whether it be Memorial Day, the 4th of July, or Veterans Day, one of the themes is lest we forget. And we don't want to forget all those who've served, all those who have given time and effort to serve in the military, protect our country. But Memorial Day is especially a remembrance of those that actually gave their lives, those that sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice of dying for our country. But the idea is that we don't want to be forgetful of what we have. We still live in a great country. Let's not forget that. We have the freedom to start a church 47 years ago here in Southington and see the ministry flourish and all these different ministries because we have the freedom to do that. There are places in the world you cannot do that. So we have so many things for which to be thankful. Let's not forget the blessings and the goodness of God. As we think about those that actually died in battle, I just thought it would be interesting to give some of the numbers. There are discrepancies about how many died in the Civil War, and Memorial Day was established primarily because of those that died in the Civil War in the 1860s. So we don't want to forget what happened during that period of time. But somewhere between, say, 650,000 to 850,000 men died during the Civil War. By far, the largest number of casualties for any conflict that we've been involved in. Pearl Harbor, there's were 2,300 plus killed. The first day of the Normandy invasion, there were 1,465 Americans killed. In Vietnam conflict, there were over 58,000 that died. I'm not sure about Korea or Iraq or other more minor skirmishes, but that's the ultimate sacrifice. That why would anyone do that? Why would anyone serve in the military to protect our country? And why, what is it about our country that they would do that for? It's not, at one point, of course, there was a draft and you didn't have any choice. Today it's a volunteer and people sign up willingly to do this. But one thing that you might notice, especially if you've traveled at all, there's something about the Christian influence and the freedom that we enjoy in America that are connected together. There is something to that. And those principles of freedom of religion and freedom and liberty, all those things come together in our country uniquely, unlike any other country of the world. In America's past, there are blemishes. It was all not good. There's a trail of tears where Indian men, and many of them were Baptist preachers, were marched from from Georgia, Roswell, Georgia, all the way to Oklahoma. And, I mean, it was a sad event. The issue of slavery was certainly a sad event. And there are periodic things that you can look at in our country and say that was not good. However, the establishment of our country was done so on many biblical principles. The freedom of religion being the primary one, that there would be no national church. And there was an economist from China many years ago that came to the country who was a Marxist. And communism 50, 70 years ago was different than it is today. It was a constant threat. There was the Cold War with Russia. It was a different era. And this man came to America to study and see how this democracy worked, which seemed strange to him. And when asked, "What did you find anything that you thought was unique or surprising?" And the thing that he was surprised about was the importance of Christian religion in operation of the government. That he said, "I don't think it would be possible for a democracy to exist without Christianity." And I think there's an important point that if we lose the Christian influence, then people will simply vote for themselves more benefits and money and to do things that they want to do. It really does require people of virtue and godliness and sincerity to make a democracy work. And literally, we are a republic, not a democracy. Nevertheless, we think we are a democracy. But the country, as a republic, would not operate properly. And that's why we're struggling now. But not because it's just the government, but it's because the virtue of the populace of people has changed. And it takes godly people to keep the democracy that willingly submit themselves unto authority to make it all work. If you think about the importance then of protecting our country, we're really protecting those virtues. We're protecting the right and freedom and liberty because of the virtues of the Word of God and biblical principles. There is no way you can disassociate the principles of the Bible from the founding of our country. It was an essential aspect of it. So what is it that people have fought for? What have they died for? It is for those principles, for those issues of freedom. And they were not willing, on July 4th, their Day of Independence, they were not willing to let the government of England or Great Britain push the country to obey some of the things they thought were unfair and not right, and sought independence. And they said, "We're going to operate our country independently." And people were willing to fight for those principles. Now, war is an awful thing. War is a terrible thing. But unfortunately, it's not going to end until Jesus comes back and we see a kingdom set up by him. And war is imminent all over the world. There are conflicts and problems and issues. I'm not sure how many of them are just either. It's just people want this, they want that, and they're grabbing at power and so on. Nevertheless, we have a country that is worth protecting. We have a country that is valuable because of its principles. And if you don't think so, then just go visit China or the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, Russia, and spend some time in that country. Or go to Iran. Spend some time in that country. And you'll kiss the ground when you come back to America. We are fortunate and we are blessed. Having said all of that, the most important issue or virtue is not our country. Our greatest allegiance is to God himself. And though we believe in the principles of freedom and liberty and the importance of them, we believe the first priority is our relationship to God. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our duty is our first relationship with God. That is the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 20 and repeated again, even in the New Testament. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the New Testament, it says, the first and greatest commandment is to put God first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and strength. That is the first commandment. So our first priority is our relationship to God. We have an important relationship with government, with our society around us. But our first relationship is with God. So we have to know that He is first place in our life. Whatever He wants is what I want. Whatever the Bible, the Word of God teaches, is what I want to follow. That must be our first priority. If there is a conflict between the government and our relationship with God, if that does happen or could happen, our first responsibility is to God. Remember what the disciples said? They said, we command you not to preach in His name anymore. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. There are some things that we cannot do and will not compromise. It's funny how some people, it's hard even to get to church. And there are others that be willing to give their life to be able to assemble in church. See, there is a principle of putting God first. And if He is first place in our life, everything else is secondary. We have reached a point in our country, unfortunately, where entertainment and recreation often takes a priority over God Himself. We have to put God first, and if there is a conflict, we face that in our own church where our state said we have to get a license to operate our Bible college. And for us to get the license meant there would be things we cannot go along with. It was intrusive into what we were trying to do. I mean, think about it. What does our state know about running a Bible college? Not a whole lot. What do they know about running some of the state colleges? I'm not sure even with that. So there was a conflict. And so we met with them. We were cordial. We were kind. But we were unbending. And they said, well, we're going to stop. You can't, you know, they ordered us to cease and desist twice. They went to the Congress, our state assembly, and they passed a bill with greater fines. And now they're going to fine us even more for not getting a license. We just said, we're not going to do it. My wife was making plans how she's going to live at home alone when I go to prison. We're not going to do it. This is our right, our responsibility. And if that's what it meant, that's what we'll do. And eventually, God intervened, and they backed off, and it was never resolved. We just keep going. Just keep going forward. Whenever they tell you can't preach the gospel, you can't live for the Lord, and they try and get you to do something that is wrong, it is against the Word of God, we have our first responsibility to God. Now, understanding that, it doesn't give us a right to constantly ignore the government. It doesn't mean we can disobey them, and we don't look at them as an enemy at all. But our right relationship with God is necessary if we're going to preserve our country. The answer and solution is not just by who's elected and put in office of president or governor or state or local representative. That's important. But the real answer is a nation has to humble himself before God. And we need His blessing and we need God's people to raise up and live a consecrated and a godly Christian life. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. So blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. If we want the blessing of God, He needs to be our Lord. It begins with salvation. Once a person realizes they're a sinner, they accept Christ as their Savior, put their faith in His death on the cross, they are saved and born again. They're now a Christian. That changes our relationship with God. And the more people that are saved, the better our nation will be. The more churches that are established and started, the better our nation will be. The more flourishing we see Christianity, the stronger will be our nation and our country. It goes together. So we not only need to be saved, but we need to be living for the Lord, following the principles of the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We have to follow the Word of God. Now, we thank the Lord for His grace, His mercy, forgiveness. But a nation that honors the principles of right and wrong found in the Bible, that honors God. That's a sad thing that there are some who would say, let's get rid of the Ten Commandments in the public square. It doesn't belong. It very much belongs. It's the foundation of our country. It ought to be in the county courthouse. It ought to be in the town hall. That's the establishment of virtue for our country. That's how our country flourishes. That's how we find the blessing of God. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Whenever we elevate the Word of God and biblical principles, think about this for a second. How can we establish what's right and wrong? How does our country determine what is good or bad? If you take away the Bible, then it only leaves us up to what we think is right in our own eyes. What's good for one person may be bad for another. But we have an established group of laws and principles on which our country was founded that are based on the Word of God. If you take away the Bible, you take away many of the laws of our country. It establishes this is right, this is wrong, this is true, this is false. And if you take away the Word of God and the principles found therein, every man does what's right in his own eyes. And that's the struggle our country's facing now. There are those that want to do what they want to do. And some of the things they want to do are ungodly. They are against the Bible. Only chaos will pursue from that. That's all that will happen is chaos, more fighting and wars. The more we elevate the Bible, the Word of God, the better our country will be. It's interesting that you could go to Uganda, Fiji, certain South American countries, Dominican Republic, and you say, we want to go in the public school and we want to teach the Bible. You know what their response will be? Oh, good, because our children need to learn discipline and right and wrong. We need virtue in our school. Please come and teach the Bible to our children. Isn't it strange that here in America, our country is based on principles found in the Word of God, and they will not let you do that. In other countries, they see the value of teaching Christian principles as a virtue for the discipline and behavior of their children. So if you take that away, you lose something very valuable. Our first allegiance is to God. However, we do have the importance of obeying those in authority. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. In fact, why don't you turn to it? If you're in Hebrews still, you're not far away. Hebrews 2. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. And it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. There are those in authority that have a God-given responsibility. When someone has a God-given responsibility, they may have it and not even be saved themselves. They may not be a Christian. But God has so ordained government that leaders will be put in positions and God oversees what is going on. And they are responsible to God, but we are responsible to those elected or are those put in office over and above us. There are many structures of authority that this can refer to, even in the home and the family. Children are to honor their parents. One of the commandments is, honor thy father and thy mother. It's the first commandment with promise. So we have an importance of honoring our parents. They're in authority, respecting them. That a child that does not respect their parents is in trouble. You know there's there are going to be issues in the future because they've not learned that principle of respect and honor, that it could destroy their life. It is important to honor parents. Respect your parents. Take care of them. Help them. Pray for them. Depending on what age they are still your parents. So honor your father and mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In addition, we are to honor those that are local, state, or national leaders. Whether it be in our country, the President of the United States, in another country, a Prime Minister, or it could be a king. If it be a governor of a state or a region or a community. If it be a local mayor or a council person or state representative or state senator. These are people that have been elected and put in office. And God's ordained the structure of government. It's one of three of God's institutions. So we know that we are to honor those. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we are to submit ourselves unto God, and as we submit ourselves unto God, we submit ourselves under the authority that God has given us. It may be at work. If you have a boss, you have a responsibility. Take care of the things that he's given you. We have a responsibility for the law. Turn with me to Romans 13. Book of Romans, chapter 13. And just keep in mind that when Paul is writing this, the Roman government has taken over much of the known world or the Middle East and Europe. And in many cases, it was oppressive. It was certainly not welcomed in Palestine or Israel. And yet Paul says this, starting in chapter 13, verse 1, Romans. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So you have to see that local leader as being ordained of God. And your responsibility to them is as if it were God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. If thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, or taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute or tax to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. There's something about the Christian life that a true Christian who's submissive to God, who has yielded to the Spirit of God, will also respect those in authority. Respect parents, they respect the police, they respect our military. That doesn't mean our parents are perfect. It doesn't mean the police never make a mistake. It doesn't mean that in the military someone doesn't go awry or do something wrong. What it means is the authority and the position that they've been given is ordained of God, and we must respect them. I wasn't very old. I'm not sure if I was 5 or 6 years old. I remember going to a basketball game, a little rural town community, and they had built a gymnasium. They'd only built a few like this, like a Quonset hut that was rounded. And it had wood beams in it, wood ceiling. And I remember going to the game, and the band played the national anthem. They raised the flag. No one told me to feel what I felt, but I felt something. There was an element of respect and honor that was almost innate. It was chills up my spine. It's just a little child. It was something that every time that happens, it kind of grips you. And you think, you know, sometimes it bothers me if people are disrespectful during the national anthem. It ought not to be. It represented something. It was significant. And what it represents, it's not just our country. It represents the principles upon which it was founded. And I believe that when we respect the law of God, we benefit and we profit. Our country profits. Whenever we can let people just ravage through the streets and destroy things and people ignore the law, that is the devastation of a country. We have to have laws. There have to be police. And I believe if you think of the Christians as a whole, they are the most patriotic, the most respectful of the police. Not probably just about everybody here has been stopped by police before for some reason, infraction or speeding or something. One lady was coming to church and the police sitting right in her driveway. And he turns in and stopped her. I don't know if he gave her a ticket or not. But, you know, but you realize they're there for a reason. They're to protect us. Our military is here for a reason, to protect us. What a shame when the men from Vietnam came back. Whether the war is unjust or not, these young men gave their lives and they were disrespected. They were not honored. I'm so glad that they built a memorial in Washington, D.C., to honor our Vietnam veterans, because these men sacrificed to go to that war. There is something about Christian people and honoring those that respect the flag and respect our government, respect the police, that is essential. It's not to say every part of that's perfect, yet there is an important respect. Well, if we just follow the Bible, then we're going to find a blessed society. Our community is better. The more Christian virtue we have, the better we are. The more Christian virtue we have, the better our nation is and will be. Authority, we might call it a necessary evil. I remember hearing a little, it was actually on a long play record. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it was a plastic record. And it had stories. Christian virtue kind of stories. And so this teacher is teaching the class, and people are complaining to the teacher, why do we have all these rules? And the teacher said, well, if that's what you want, then we'll have one rule. There's no rules in class. There'll be no rules. After a day, the little boy's pulling the pigtails of this girl in front of him. People are throwing paper airplanes. Spit wads going across the classroom. Fights are breaking out. And by the end of the day, everybody's complaining. Well, I thought you wanted no rules. You know, and that's just a mirror of what happens to a country when you have no rules. We must have rules and standards. They may not all be ones we like or agree with. Does anybody here feel like you don't pay enough taxes? You don't pay any taxes, that's why. We don't pay. No one wants to pay more taxes, but we want our roads to work. You know, we want government to work. We want the police to be there, and if our house catches on fire, we want them to show up. See, we do understand there is an essential aspect of the role of government. But if it is Christian, it makes the country happy and better. In Hebrews 13, it said in verse 17, they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. It actually brings joy to have people in authority that are righteous and good and honest. Our judicial system is so crucial to our country, and it's been under attack internally. But it is so crucial. You have to have laws, and you have to abide by them. Psalm 144 and verse 15 says, happy is the people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When God is honored, a nation is blessed. We honor Him by following His principles. Look, it is important, I believe, to be involved with our elections, with people running for office, with our local representatives, make friends with them. Some of the best advice I was ever given in starting a church, a man told me, he said, when you get to town, the first thing you do is go to your town hall and meet everybody in that town hall. And that's one of the things that I did. And I periodically to this day, still I visit, just say hi to people, went and talked to the town manager. We had an assessor one time that was going to tax the church property, and they kept sending us a bill. And I went and talked to our town manager at the time. It was John Weishel, Jewish man, who I'd become friends with. In fact, I even played tennis with him once, and he's like a professional tennis player. It was awful. It was bad. He had no mercy either. He didn't care. So I went to talk to him. I said, here's what's happening. He said, come with me. We went over to talk to the assessor. He went over to the assessor and he said, look, we don't fight with God. Back off. Ooh. We walked back. He said, I've never said that to any of my employees ever before. I'd rather work with them than fight them. I'd rather respect them. And that's why we get involved in relationships with people. Met the Bristol mayor, is a great guy, Jeff Caggiano. He was running the Shamrock Run. I'd talked to him before. Great guy. Get to know people like that. Doesn't hurt. Won't hurt. You think about within our own town that, the town council chairman comes to church whenever she can get free to come. There are other people on the council and different boards we become friends with. You could do that or you can fight them and say, you don't have a right to tell us what to do. And I've seen churches do that to their detriment. How much better to make friends with those in authority? And I don't care if they don't agree with my politics and I think they're going a whole different direction. Making friends with them and praying for them is a key. I couldn't disagree more with our president right now, but I respect the office, and we should pray for him. And everybody in position, pray for them. And if we can make friends with them, we make friends with them. So it is important for us to respect those in authority. And as we do, and as our nation spiritually has revival, or spiritually comes closer to God, our nation is more blessed as a result of it. And that's what our prayer should be. So what we do individually is crucial. Don't expect the nation to be better than what you and I are. Let's be the best Christian we can be. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure you're living for the Lord. Make sure you're obeying the Word of God. Spread the Word of God. Let other people know. Pass out tracts and books and booklets. And do your best to try and see people saved. I think it's great for our patriotic holidays that we celebrate, have picnics, parades, the auto races and foot races and, you know, all those things I think are a great thing to do. But if we miss the Lord, then it really is just another function and activity. We have to remember He is first place. He must be our priority. Let's bow for prayer this morning.